Not that's okay, Sid. We're reading from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 30. And the title of the message tonight is Seeing the Invisible. Seeing the Invisible. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. Please be seated, and may the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Now, I'm quite sure you didn't count how many times in those 6 verses the writer to the Hebrews used the word faith 5 times. 5 times in 6 verses. That gives you a clue as to what that portion of Scripture is about. It's about faith, and it's about the faith of Moses. Here's some nice quotes about faith. Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. Faith is all about trusting God, even when you don't understand his plan. Faith in God includes faith in God's timing. Faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe. The great thing about faith in God is that it keeps a man undisturbed, or a woman, in the midst of disturbance. One commentator who's speaking about that portion of Scripture that I just read, this is what he said. Faith, we cannot say it too often, is a direct vision of the soul. It doesn't reason. It doesn't ask for evidences. It doesn't seek the corroboration of spies sent forward to explore the land. It is to the spiritual world what the 5 senses are to the things around us. It is even more than this. It is our power of deriving the help of the unseen to carry out and complete the work of our life. He goes on. Moses saw him who is invisible, and drew on God with a mighty faith that reckoned on him being more real than Pharaoh, and secured his divine cooperation. First, he ascertained God's will at the place where the bush burned with fire, and then set about doing his part, depending on God to do his. Of course, it brought him into collision with the whole might of Pharaoh and Egypt, but he didn't even fear it. The destroying angel had no terrors for the blood-sheltered people. The waters lined up on each side to let them pass. Strongly built walls fell to the ground. Let us be sure that we are on the line of God's purposes. Then trust him and fear nothing. Well put, I think. Sometimes in our lives we have to make important choices, all of us, that can have a real impact on our lives. Moses made important choices that profoundly impacted his life. And we read that. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose, now listen to this, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. So in other words, folks, Moses chose to turn his back on Pharaoh's palace and all the pleasures that went with it. And I would suggest that that was no easy thing for Moses to do. I know if I'd been in Moses' situation, it wouldn't have been an easy thing for me to do. To turn your back on the pleasures of Pharaoh's palace. And it was opulence all the way. It is no easy thing to choose to give up a life of luxury. And as a consequence of giving up that, to choose to give that up, to choose to be mistreated. That was the consequence of Moses' choice. When I was thinking about this, I don't know, I spoke briefly this morning about John the Baptist. Great servant, great man of God, great prophet of God. But there was a time in John's life that if he had chosen to keep quiet, he wouldn't have lost his head. He made a very important life choice, and because he made that choice, he too was mistreated. Awfully. This godly man, because he stood up and said that what you are doing is not right. And because of that, without going into the whole story, he lost his head, it was put on a platter. And I think it was Herodias who it was presented to. Choices have real consequences, folks. I don't know if you've heard this lately on the news. It's about the whole debacle that's going on in America with the president and a whole load of other stuff. I do follow it. But they said this, and they say it time and time again, that elections have consequences. And boy, they do. They do. Elections have consequences. But so do our personal choices. All of us. They have consequences. But this is a wonderful story of faith in this man. I want to take us back a wee bit. Before he left, chose to leave Pharaoh's palace. Because right at the very beginning of this man's life, or boy's life, baby's life, whatever way you want to look at the story, God's invisible hands were upon Moses' life from the moment he was born. From the very moment he was born, God's invisible hands were upon his life. How do we know that? Well, listen to this. Exodus chapter 1. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose name were Shifra and Puah, when you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? The midwives answered Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Now try and imagine this. Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. Every Hebrew boy that is born must be thrown into the Nile. What a wicked and evil decree to issue to these people. But one thing I want to point out, there's a whole lot in that wee portion of scripture. I'm not going to go into that. But one thing that I really did notice, and I thought it was beautiful in this part of the story of Moses, was the midwives. You know, sometimes in scripture, people can easily get overlooked because they're not seen as important. They're not seen as really doing much. But these two midwives did quite a lot. And yet with all, how many of us know their names? Or did know their names before tonight? Shifra and Puah. It seems, according to this portion of Scripture, that they had no children of their own. So they became midwives. And isn't that lovely? Two ladies who couldn't have a family of their own, they're there assisting other ladies to have their children and help to look after them. And they were two brave women because they totally disregarded and disobeyed Pharaoh. He gave them a direct command. Any boy that is born, you must kill him. But they chose to fear God rather than man. And it was a good choice. What was the consequences of that choice? They could have been killed themselves, number one. They weren't, because God protected them. But number two, the consequence of their choice, or their choices, it says that God looked upon them favorably. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, guess what? He gave them families of their own. Isn't that lovely? Because of their choice. God blessed them. God did something wonderful in their lives. That actually just by the way. But God's providential plan for a baby boy. God's providential plan for a baby boy. I don't know if you can remember or not the names of Moses' parents, but just to remind you, his dad was called Amram and his mother was called Jochebed. And I want to pick up the story now. We've read from Exodus 1, and here's just a portion of Scripture, an important part of Scripture from Exodus chapter 2. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Imagine having to do that with your baby. It's inconceivable, isn't it? To put him in a basket in the Nile of all rivers. The Nile is infamous for its crocodiles. They're massive. And here is this mother putting her baby into that river where, in all likelihood, that the baby wouldn't last very long. So his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." What a tremendous story. Tremendous. And the thing is this, folks, what I want us to see tonight, that our God knows how to protect and provide to bring about his purposes. Our God knows how to protect and provide to bring about his purposes. The Nile, as I said, is not a small river. It's massive. Now, what's the chances? I don't believe in luck. Sorry, I don't. But what's the chances of Pharaoh's daughter just happening to be on that portion of the Nile, just in the exact place where Moses is placed in his basket? What's the chances? And that little baby would have been a very, very tasty little meal for any of those Nile crocodiles, and yet not one went near him. Also, the basket could have easily been overlooked because it was in the rushes. But it wasn't. And folks, when God wants to get people's attention to something, he will get it. Trust me. Pharaoh's daughter, she spotted it and she sent her servant to get it. Also, just at that time, the baby was crying. He could have been sleeping. He could have been very quiet. But he wasn't. And when you put all of these things together, folks, this just wasn't a chance encounter by Pharaoh's daughter. It was divinely planned by the invisible God. He was working in this little baby's life, and the baby was rescued. Also in the story, what I find amusing is the fact that whenever Jochebed put the little baby in the basket, I think her feeling was, I'll never see my baby again. I really do believe that. I'll never see my baby again. She didn't know that Pharaoh's daughter was going to come walking along and take her baby out of the Nile. She didn't know that. So she thought, I've just given my son up to the crocodiles. But isn't it amazing that not only did she get her child back, okay, but she got it back with, she got him back with benefits. She got childcare. This is probably the first place in the Bible where you see childcare. Because Pharaoh's daughter paid Moses' own mother to look after him. What's the chances? Folks, our God is good. I said a moment ago that our God knows how to protect and provide to bring about his purposes. But you know what? In our life, sometimes these three things, they're not apparent immediately. We don't see them straight away. Sometimes we don't see God moving and protecting and providing to bring about his purposes in our lives. We read this concerning Moses. By faith, he left Egypt. Not fearing the king's anger, he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Folks, there's time for all of us that we have to persevere in our faith. Every single one of us. And because Moses persevered, or because his faith was such, he could see him who was invisible. That's what kept his faith strong. That's how he was able to persevere. He saw him who is invisible. He saw his hand upon his life. You know, Moses' faith enabled him to leave a luxurious and comfortable lifestyle without any fear or regret. I've heard people testify, business people, really well off people, that God came to them, spoke to them, asked them to leave their secular work and go into full-time service, and they gave up a lot. They gave up a lot. And it's wonderful. People, in fact, some of them that I've heard, went out onto the mission field. And they left good homes, they left good salaries, and they went out onto the mission field, and they went in to poor societies, degradation, and they did it because they knew that that was God's purpose and plan for their lives. They had no regrets. I want to tell you this, folks. When you're living the way God wants you to live, you'll have no regrets. None. Isn't it wonderful not to have regrets? I'm sure we could all look back over our lives, and I don't want us to do that and regret things that we've either done or said, or choices that we've made. We regret making that. But you see, when we're following in Christ's footsteps, we will regret nothing, because he leads us, he guides us, and he directs us into his perfect plan for our lives. So the key, if you like, to Moses' faith was that he saw him who is invisible. Now you might say, well, how could he see him who is invisible? He saw him through the eyes of faith. There is no other way to see God. He witnessed God's invisible power at work time and time again. There are so many accounts if you read the story of Moses. One in particular, do you remember whenever they had finally left Egypt, and the Egyptians were bearing down on them. And they thought, we're going to be slaughtered here. The people began to, if you like, give off. Oh, but I'm better staying in Egypt. We're going to be destroyed here, wiped out. And again, Moses' faith in the invisible God, it was borne out by God's provision and power. What did God do? He sent that strong east wind all night, and he parted the waters of the Red Sea. We read it. And the children of Israel, they crossed over the Red Sea, and when the ensuing army, the chariots, it must have been frightening to hear the rumble of thousands of chariots in the distance, and you would see the, if you like, the dust in the sky, and you would see it getting closer and closer. They must have been terrified, petrified, standing at the bank of the Red Sea going, oh, we've had it here. There's no getting out of this one. And yet Moses' faith in the invisible God, it was borne out because God came and God delivered his people. And folks, God will always do that for us as well. Whenever we stand on the brink of facing a challenge or an obstacle that we go, oh no, there's no way across, there's no way out of this. I'm not getting through this. I'm sure those people thought, I'm not getting through that. Maybe carrying their little children, their babies. I'm not getting through this. And sometimes in our life, maybe we think like that. We're not going to get through this. But when we keep our faith and our trust in God, folks, he gets us through. Always. Look back over your life. How many times did you face a situation and you thought, this isn't going to work out? But it did work out. Why? And we said this the other week, all things work together for good for those who are called according to God's purposes. We can't figure it all out, but we trust, we have faith in our invisible God. You know, you can go right through Scripture and you'll see different people. This wasn't just Moses' experience. There were lots of other people who experienced the power and the provision of the invisible God. Without going into the whole story, read it for yourself. Hebrews 11, talks about the faith of Abraham. We did that in the Bible study on Thursday night. When he was called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he's going. That's faith. He obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. That's faith in his invisible God. He trusted him, and it worked out. And even it says, and by faith, even Sarah, who was well past childbearing age, she was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. She couldn't figure it out. I think she was 90 or in around there. And when the angels came and told her, yeah, you're going to have a child. What? Come on. At my age, no chance. But it says she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And it says, and so from this one man, Abraham was no young fella either. And he as good as dead, what a description of somebody. And he as good as dead came to sentence as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Moses, Abraham, and Sarah, they all saw the invisible God through their eyes of faith. You know, no one except Jesus has ever seen God, his Father. You can read that in, I think it's John chapter 1. It says, as no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, and the Father has made this known to him. Now, someone might say, well, Pastor, that's not strictly true because someone did see God. And that would be right, but they didn't see his face. God permitted Moses to see his back. And you read that in Exodus chapter 33. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see my face and live. The Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." So if someone says, technically no one has ever seen God, that's more or less true, apart from the fact that Moses saw God's back. Sometimes I hear this term, blind faith. Blind faith. And personally, I question as to whether or not that is an accurate term to portray the Christian faith. Blind faith. I know we cannot physically see God, but by faith we can look and we can see the works of the invisible God. We can all look back over our Christian lives and we can see, I guarantee you, that we will be able to see where the invisible God was working things out on our behalf. He was there, he was in control, but we couldn't see him physically, but he was still there. We can also see the invisible God transforming our lives to become more and more like him. We can see that. Isn't it wonderful when other people see that? When other people see the work of the invisible God in our lives, they see the change. What does the hymn say? What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. When? Since Jesus came into my heart. Believe it or not, we're at the conclusions, folks. You might actually get home early tonight. I know you're going to find that difficult to believe, but have faith. Moses was able to see and know the invisible God through his faith. And we too can see the invisible God through our faith. Through faith, and I hope you can understand this bit, what I'm about to say. Through faith, we can leave behind our metaphorical Egypt, whatever that may be for us. Now, what do I mean by the metaphorical Egypt? You see, in reality, Egypt for Moses meant slavery. It meant abuse. It meant a horrible life. In our personal circumstances, I don't know everybody's circumstance, but metaphorically speaking, we can leave behind our Egypt through faith, and we can move on for whatever God has for us in our lives. I know personally one of the biggest choices I ever made was when I left Heister, secular work, and it was not easy to leave it. I left it because I believed God had spoken to me very simply and said, "Jim, I want you to stop working with machines and start working with people." I was reluctant at the beginning, but God worked it out. The invisible God would take too long to go into it all, but the invisible God was working it out, and he did work it out. That was in the year 2000. Folks, I can't believe that's 21 years ago. I really can't. And you know the story. 2010, we came back here, Helen and I, and God has worked wonderfully, I think, in those years in our lives. And in the church. In concluding also, faith in God, as I said, affects our choices, our decisions, and our destiny. Faith in God affects our choices, our decisions, and our destiny. See, because of Moses' faith in God, he didn't fear Pharaoh. He didn't fear leaving. He didn't fear giving up that opulent lifestyle, the pleasures of Egypt, to be mistreated. He didn't fear that. But faith in our invisible God enables us to make those choices and those decisions so that we can find our destiny. Somewhere in our lives, friends, our faith in God will be tested and tried. That could even be happening to you right now. I don't know. But it will at some point in our lives. Our faith in God will be tested and tried. And when that time comes, this is my prayer. I pray that we will be like Moses and have faith to see him who is invisible and to persevere in our faith. Not to let go, not to give up, not to become disillusioned and discouraged and despondent, but to keep on going. Keep on trusting in our invisible God. I'm going to finish with some more quotes about faith. And this is me finished when I finish the quotes, folks, believe it or not. Faith. Faith is taking that first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Faith is all about trusting God even when you don't understand his plan. Faith in God includes faith in God's timing. The great thing about faith in God is that it keeps a man and woman undisturbed in the midst of disturbance. And finally, faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe. I pray, folks, tonight that our faith will remain strong and we will keep looking and keep seeing through faith our invisible God who's working all things out for our good, even if we don't understand. Amen. Amen.